is all we need to bring about a transformation that is so much needed for our time and in our generation. And God has gifted us with a gift to this generation. And with Jesus' joy, please receive to bring us God's word this morning one more time. Celebrate our great friend, God's servant, Apostle Joshua Selman.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you. It's an honor to be here again. And Lord, we thank you for House on the Rock. We thank you for the plateau. We pray that you will bless us in no small way this morning. And we declare that Jesus forever is lifted and glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated. I'm teaching for just few minutes this morning for this first service. We'll continue from where we left off yesterday night. So let me encourage everyone who was unable to make it yesterday night, please do well to get the teachings. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We began to discuss the subject of encounters. I did tell us, according to Job 42 and verse 5, I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see at thee. So I did tell us yesterday night that encounters are supernatural experiences that furnish the reality of God, the reality of an idea, the reality of a thing. Furnishes it in your spirit. And I said how that our convictions and our exploits in this kingdom are predicated on the kinds and the dimensions of encounters that we have. And I did tell us that there are a number of encounters that we must have as far as kingdom relevance and as far as exploits in this kingdom is concerned. We took two of them yesterday night. Number one, the first was the encounter with the Son of the Living God. Please do not forget this. The encounter with the Son of the Living God grants us access to His life, His righteousness, and His grace. Then we moved over to the second, which is the encounter with the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I did say that the Holy Spirit is the confirmer of the word. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of the word. The Holy Spirit is the custodian of the anointing. The administration of spiritual power resides in the office of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. This morning, very quickly, let's talk about the third encounter. The encounter with the Word of God. The encounter with the Word of God. John chapter 1 and verse 1. Very quickly, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And he said the word was God. He says the same was in the beginning with God. So the Bible starts by telling us the word was with God in the beginning. Now listen, even though Jesus, the person, is called the word, there is the word of God as the compendium of the methodologies of the kingdom. The word of God as the compendium of the principles and the mysteries of the kingdom. So when I talk about this third encounter, I'm not just talking about an encounter with the Son of the Living God that leads to the new birth experience. I'm talking about an encounter with the Logos of God. The word that is translated word is the Greek word logos, and it means the thoughts of a man. the thoughts of a man that seek expression. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. The prophet began to lament and he said, my people are destroyed. They perish for the lack of knowledge. For the lack of knowledge. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18. I hope you're writing these scriptures down. Ephesians chapter 4. I just quote it quickly for time's sake. Paul was mentoring the church in Ephesus. And he was attempting to diagnose their spiritual condition. And he said this. Having their understanding darkened. It says being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Hallelujah. As important as being saved or born again as we know it to be, is when you are saved and you just stop at that realm, you will never be able to attain stature and maturity in the kingdom. In fact, the Bible says it is because of God's commitment to our maturity that he gave unto some apostles, he gave unto some prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It says, for the perfecting. The word perfecting there is the word maturing of the saints. That the saints now being matured would do the work of the ministry to the end that we all as a corporate body will come into the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ. It says, not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and the sleight of men wherein they lie to deceive. Are we together? So an encounter with the word of God is an encounter with the mysteries of the kingdom. Please say after me, the mysteries of the kingdom. One more time, can you shout it? Say the mysteries of the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 11, Jesus is teaching a crowd just as this. And he was introducing them to the lifestyle of the kingdom. He began his discourse in what we know theologically to be the Beatitudes, opening them up to the way the kingdom functioned. And he said, 13 verse 11, Matthew, he said, because it has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So in this kingdom we excel and we reign on the strength of the principles and the mysteries of the kingdom that we know. There is a dimension of Jesus called Jesus the Way. He said, I am the way. I'm not only the truth and life. I am the way. God's authorized method. Jesus the Way. And if you do not encounter the word of God, you will never be able to understand the principles, listen carefully, the patterns and the methodologies of God. Let me tell you something about the glory of God. The glory of God is only revealed as an attestation that his patterns have been kept. If you ever see the glory of God revealed in the life of an individual, revealed within a territory, a church, a business, the glory of God comes to confirm that his patterns have been kept. And so if you do not understand spiritual patterns, you will never be able to host or reveal the glory of God. If you're with me, please say amen. Whether it's in finances, ministry, career, your influence, every manifestation of the glory of God revealed in scripture came when his patterns were kept. Now look up, please. God is a God of systems. That means in his character, every time he's about to introduce a dimension of himself, listen carefully, he would demonstrate or simulate that experience once and create spiritual principles around that experience so that by engaging the principles you can make for continuity of that dimension. Are we together now? So he made man and he made woman, and he programmed a principle of reproduction. Are we together? So that if you need more men, you will not have to call on him and say, come create new people. You engage the principle. Are you getting me now? So you can be born again, and yet your life will never capture the riches that are in Christ, because you have encountered the Son of God. You have even encountered the Spirit, but you have not encountered the Logos. There is an encounter with the Word of God. The result of this encounter with the Word of God is what leads to what we call dominion. You may have heard me say it again, that dominion is not an impartation. There is no anointing for dominion. Dominion is the resultant effect of your comprehending the ways of the kingdom. This gives you authority, the Greek word exousia, capacity to legislate. Are we together now? Encounter with the Word of God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Paul was speaking to the church in Colossae, and by extension, the body of Christ. He said it this way: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That the word of Christ dwell in you richly and in all wisdom. The word of Christ can dwell in you, but if it's not in wisdom, you will not be able to draw it out and apply it accordingly. There are many people who have access to scripture. Many people study their Bibles, but there is no methodical approach to their spiritual growth. So if and when situations demand the release of the Word of God, they do not know how to coordinate the Word of God like a system of advantage to produce victory. I give you an instance. The average believer does not understand the forces of redemption and the dimensions of victory allocated to them. So, if you have a challenge, the average believer would pray at random, pleading the blood of Jesus, calling the fire of the Holy Ghost, touching and agreeing, taking communion, laying hands on one another. Somehow, you just suspect that one of those principles would work. It's dangerous to live your spiritual life shadow boxing. You can step into a level of accuracy where you know what spiritual principle is responsible for what outcome. This is what is called mastering the spirit. And Paul said, he that strives for mastery is not crowned except he strives lawfully. You are a blessing to the degree to which you can handle the principles and the keys of the kingdom. Are we in agreement this morning? Yes. So believers have access to scripture. But then, many are not able to methodically study and understand the truth of God's word. Write this down, please. Maybe I should just say this quickly. Scripture contains three things basically. Every time you study scripture, you're exposed to three things. Number one, promises. Every time you study scripture, you're exposed to the promises of God, tokens of his commitment to you. Number two, every time you open up scripture, you are exposed to principles. These principles are hidden in stories. These principles are hidden in parables. Listen to me. If all you read in the Bible is a story or a parable, it has not benefited you. The benefit from that scripture or that study comes when you uncover and unravel the mystery behind the story, behind the parable. So scripture contains promises. Scripture contains principles. Number three, scripture contains prophecies. We'll see you high and lifted up. You are shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy.
There is a prayer now, listen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Hallelujah. Second Peter chapter 1 from verse 3. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. In fact, let's start from verse 2. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Here's what it says. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. So we know grace can be multiplied. We know peace can be multiplied. But the Bible says through knowledge. Grace does not multiply through desire. Grace and peace. Grace in ministry. Grace in business. Every dimension of grace is knowledge dependent. Through knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 3 says, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain. How many things? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. But it now comes through knowledge. The knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4. It says, whereby are given unto us great and exceeding precious promises, that by these we might be the partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. The extent of the grace that we command in this kingdom is dependent on knowledge. Listen, you have to pray for the grace to conquer ignorance in your life. Ignorance is deadly. It will give authorization to the devil and his cohorts to destroy you and destroy your ministry. John 1 verse 5 says, the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. So the kingdom is a compendium of infinite possibilities. But those possibilities depend on knowledge. Listen, in this kingdom, there is a principle that governs kingdom wealth and abundance. There is a principle that governs restoration. There is a principle that governs influence. There is a principle that governs being anointed. There is a principle that governs longevity. It's not enough to just claim them arbitrarily. You must understand the principles that lead to that outcome. Are we together? I give you an example. You are trusting God to live a meaningful life. There is a principle that is responsible for a meaningful life. Deuteronomy 28 from verse 1, it says, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, to do and observe all that I command you this day, it leaves you with a promise that you shall be exalted above the nations of the earth, and that this blessing shall come upon you and overtake you. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to, not just to say, to do all that is written therein. It says, then and only then you will have good success. So to just claim good success arbitrarily is making a mockery of your destiny. You must understand the requisite spiritual principles. The encounter with the word. Is God speaking to us? There are so many things that happen in our lives, and we console ourselves sociologically by saying, "How can I lie, Ashiria?" Have you heard that kind of statement? It looks very sociologically comforting. But let me tell you, God has no business with many things that are happening to many people. We are receiving the fruits of our ignorance. Ignorance has a cost. It can cost you your lifetime. It can cost you your relevance. It can cost you your influence. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, the will of God for us is not left in the dark. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. He says they are thoughts of good or peace and not of evil, to bring you a future and an expected end. We need to trust God for the grace to become like spiritual archaeologists, searching for the mysteries of the kingdom, the principles of the kingdom that are responsible for the outcomes that we desire. I give you another example. Are you still getting blessed this morning? Many people, sir, especially at this time of, you know, recession across the globe, and then the pandemic has brought a lot of setback for many people, especially financially. Now you are trusting God for increase. Wishing and claiming and complaining and getting angry at blessed people will not produce that result. You have to go back to scripture, the manual for effective living, and find out God's idea. The Bible says it this way, Isaiah 51. It says, look unto Abraham your father and to Sarah your mother that bear thee. It says, I called him and I blessed him and I increased him. That means understudy his life as my idea of what it means to be blessed. Are we together? Then you begin to study the principles of scripture, and you see scattered through scripture the keys that control the blessing of the Lord upon the life of an individual. Then you begin to study truths like, there is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is he that withholdeth more than his meat and tends to poverty. Then the Bible says, a diligent hand shall be made fat. Is that true? You begin to study scriptures like, he that walks with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools, the Bible says, shall be destroyed. Then you begin to learn that there is favor as an equation for success in the kingdom. Exodus 3 and 21, the Bible says, I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that as ye go, ye shall not go empty. Now, when you find that truth, you obtain grace to walk in keeping with the conditions that release the blessing. Apostle, it looks like everybody does not like me. It looks like all the helpers of my destiny are not here to help me. I sympathize with you, but that is not a correct statement. Because the Bible says, whoever wants friends, you must sow that seed of friendship by becoming friendly. Are we together now? There is a lot of ignorance in the body of Christ. Please listen to me. Well-intentioned people, sincere people, respectfully speaking, there are so many well-meaning believers across the plateau becoming victims of situations and circumstances, and many people get angry and offended with God. Why should I have this kind of treatment? I love Jesus with all my heart. I'm a believer, you will say. I'm a Christian. I go to church. It takes more than going to church. It takes more than getting born again. You must encounter the word of God, the methodologies of the kingdom. Then you will learn his ways. In fact, Prophet Micah prophesied that in the last days, the mountain of the Lord shall be exalted above other mountains and above other hills. And he said, all nations will flow through it. He says, they will tell one another, come, let us go to the mount of the Lord, to the house of Jacob. He says, and there he will teach us his ways. That is what we are going to learn. He will teach us his ways. You know how the disciples became apostles? It was not just by impartation services. For 3.5 years, they were immersed in a body of spiritual information. It took only one day for their impartation, but it took 3.5 years. The anointing will, you, thou anointest my head, not my cup. What needs the miracle is my head. And I see the result of what happened on my head through my cup. We need knowledge. We need knowledge. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Apostle Paul again praying over the church in Colossae. He prayed to the Father that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Number one. Number two, all wisdom. Number three, spiritual understanding. And that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scripture, that is able to make you wise even unto salvation. I'm trusting that in this first service, the Lord will plant in us an appetite for scripture. Not learning to preach. Not learning just to preach in a conference. This is for your life. They are life to those who find them, the Bible says. and health to their flesh. I detest ignorance. And I'm not ashamed of any area where I'm in ignorance. In fact, many times I pray and I tell the Lord, reveal to me the areas of ignorance in my life so that I can contend for light. We rise in this kingdom by light. Apostle Paul said, I went up by revelation. We go up by revelation, not desire. Desire only pushes you to the place where you begin to engage revelation. According to Proverbs 18 and verse 1, it says, through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddled with all wisdom. Desire separates you, but it is knowledge that gives you authority in this kingdom. Are we blessed? There are three blessings that come to the life of any believer when you encounter the word of God. Number one, the first blessing you receive is the blessing of understanding. Write that down, please. Understanding, the fortitude to comprehend. Luke chapter 19 and verse 42. When you read that scripture, the Bible says Jesus stood and wept over Jerusalem. He said, oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if only you had known in this thy day the things that make for your peace. He says, but now they are hidden from you. Understanding is a real miracle. Luke chapter 24 and verse 45. Please give it to us. Understanding. The Bible says, then open ye their understanding that they might understand scripture. I think we should turn this verse into a prayer in 1 minute. Lord, open my understanding. I'm tired of looking but not seeing. I'm tired of hearing but not comprehending. I'm tired of shadow boxing my way through destiny. Grant me accuracy of perception and understanding. Is someone praying? You came to church. I was glad, he said, when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Because you learn the ways of God. You do not learn the ways of God in a bank. You do not learn the ways of God in a parliament. The church is the only authorized institution that can mentor and culture believers. Lift your voice and pray. Lord, grant me understanding. Grant me understanding. Hallelujah. Look at me. Spiritual understanding is a miracle. Just because you are educated, in as much as secular education is concerned, does not mean you understand spiritual things. Do not confuse secular education and enlightenment with spiritual understanding. Isaiah 29 and verse 11. Let me show you an interesting scripture. Isaiah 29 and 11. Is it possible that we read it together? Can you see from where you are seated? Alright, let's try. One, to read. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. Read on. Which men deliver to one who is learned. What's his reply? Saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I cannot. Why? For it is sealed. Not closed, sealed. Just because the Bible is open does not mean that the seals have been broken. It can be open and yet it is sealed. Next verse. Verse 12. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I am not even learned in the first place. So there is a realm where both the learned and the unlearned have to depend on the Holy Spirit. He's the one who opens you up to scripture. Interpreting scripture just from an intellectual standpoint will only lead to legalism and confusion. Because when you read the Bible from an intellectual standpoint, let me tell you what you will meet. You will meet a plethora of confusing statements. You will meet a plethora of statements that cancel out one another. At the end of it, you will hate what you are reading. Because what you see here is not just a book like a novel. It's a mystery that is encoded in a book. And the Holy Spirit will have to open your eyes that you may behold the wondrous things out of His law. Are we together?
Yes.
So understanding, number two, very quickly, as we prepare to wrap up. The second blessing that we get from an encounter with the Word is faith. Bible faith is a product of an encounter with the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith. Faith. Romans 10 and verse 17. It says, so then faith cometh. Wow, look at me. Paul personifies faith. Faith is alive. Like a messenger, it can come. That means until it comes, you don't have it. Faith cometh. There is something that calls faith into your life. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh. It can come to your life. It can come to your ministry. It can come to your business. But it comes by hearing. Bible faith. Listen to me. I submit to you with every sense of responsibility and every sense of respect. Many of the things that we practice that we call faith is not Bible faith. Believe me when I tell you this. This is an uncomfortable truth, but it is true. Most of the things that we do, the Bible does not call that faith. Real faith works. Real faith produces results. Let me define for you what faith is. Based on scripture and my experience. Faith is the name given to the action that you take. Based on your conviction of who God is. And the integrity of His word. The name given to the action. Not the believing. Believing is not faith. It is part of the process of faith. If all you do is believe, your faith is not complete. You have to understand this. Most of what we do is believing. Then we speak. No, that's not faith. Faith is the name given to the action you take. That action of obedience, derived from your understanding, derived from your conviction. Look at this. Let me have one gentleman. Can I use you, sir? Come. Watch this. Please stand here. Everyone look at this. As far as your eyes can see. Hold this, sir. This is what you're looking for. The handkerchief. Are we together? Now, here's what many of us do. In the name of Jesus, this is my handkerchief. You are not lying. It was destined to reach you. In the name of Jesus, this is my handkerchief. Are we together now? And while we are saying this, the condition that was meant for receiving that handkerchief, we don't find out what it is. And we just say, this is my handkerchief. 5 years, this is my handkerchief. 15 years, this is my handkerchief. You are not lying, but it doesn't mean you have it. And someone comes, sir. Someone will come from behind. And while he's saying, this is my handkerchief, he's walking. And in 2 months, he will pick what for 15 years. You kept watching. Now you get angry and you say, this is not fair. For 15 years, I've been seeing this. No. Just believing and speaking will not give you your result. This is a deliverance for someone. Until action is engaged, you have not manifested faith. Every promise in the scripture has conditions attached to it. Until those conditions are fulfilled, you have not committed God's integrity. Please understand this. Just the awareness of the possibilities does not bring its manifestation. You must know the requisite condition attached to it. There are conditions. There are conditions. Are we together? Thank you, sir. Thank you. So it's not enough to just see what is yours in Christ and speak what is yours in Christ. You must take it a step further to find out. This is the benefit of meditation. You are not done meditating until your responsibility, your participatory responsibility is revealed. If you do not find your responsibility, you have not done meditating. Meditation is not just to make you aware that this is yours. Every dimension of result in the kingdom will require a role to play. There is a participatory role that you have to play. The cheapest of the blessings in the kingdom, as far as receiving is concerned, is salvation. And even that one is not imparted to you automatically. The gift is free, but it must be received based on a condition. That with your heart you will believe unto righteousness. And then verbalize your commitment by making Jesus Lord. So whilst an altar call is made, for instance, if you remain there and hope and wish you are saved, you will still go to hell. Even though the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ is a reality, but it may not be a reality in your life. Hear me. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. In heaven, no, not your life. In heaven, it takes faith and the operation of the word for it to become a reality in your life. So Jesus, teaching us to pray, said this: when you pray, say, your kingdom come, by your will being done in earth as it is in heaven. We must trust God for grace. If there is anything to take home in this morning's service, is that there is a responsibility component as far as dominion in this kingdom is concerned. It is true that God can answer prayer, but just believing He will answer prayer just because you are in trouble. The Bible says the Lord is nigh them that call upon Him, not them that are in trouble. Just because you are in trouble does not mean you will experience His salvation. You must call upon Him. That's the condition attached to receive His help. Call upon me, He said, and I will answer. Then I will show you great and mighty things. If you do not call upon Him, He has to respect your will. It's safe to assume you do not need His help. Are we blessed?
Yes.
Let me give you an assignment. Please go back home and write all the dimensions of the kingdom, the dimensions of results and spiritual possibilities that you seek to step into. And through meditation and prayer, to study of the Bible primarily, and then relevant materials, find out the conditions connected to that promise. And then obtain grace from God to walk in keeping with those conditions. Let me tell you this. Truly speaking, when you fulfill the conditions allocated for the manifestation of a promise, there is no power in existence that sustains the ability to stop you from entering that truth. Are we blessed? Finally, then we pray. What is the third blessing that follows an encounter with the Word of God? Stability. Write it down. Stability. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6 says, wisdom and knowledge, he says, shall be the stability of your time. Your life is as stable as the knowledge and the wisdom that you have. When you are perturbed by the vicissitudes of life, is proof that you are not grounded yet. In fact, here's how Apostle Paul puts it. Please give us 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, look up please, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There is a dimension of spiritual stability that you must attain. And it is knowledge that gives you that stability. The Bible says if you turn aside in the day of battle, it is that your strength is small. The wife of Job came to him at the height of his predicament and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And Job said, "No, though he slay me, I will trust him. All the days of my appointed time," he said, "I will wait. I know something about God." Hallelujah. Understanding, faith, and stability. But I think for many believers, the challenge there is the faith part. Because we keep doing a lot of things believing we are manifesting faith. And then we are surprised and then angry that our lives do not reflect what the Bible says should be. If it is Bible faith, I will say it again, it always produces. Bible faith produces. There are many young people today, respectfully speaking. Do you know the reason why their lives are full of tragedies? The Bible says, "Honor your father and your mother in the Lord, that it shall be well with you and you shall have the length of days." The level of dishonor, that it is almost marketable to practice dishonor, is the reason why many people are surrounded by ills they cannot explain, because scripture cannot be broken. You can be a prayer warrior, you practice dishonor and watch the plethora of troubles that stand before you. Hallelujah. You must embrace the full as far as producing results is concerned in your life. And as we prepare to pray and wrap up this morning's service, in addition to your encounter with the Son of God, giving you life and peace, then your encounter with the office and the person of the Holy Spirit, giving you direction, giving you guidance, fellowship, and then empowerment. You need this encounter with the Word of God, giving you faith, giving you understanding that translates into real authority in the Spirit, and then stability in your life. So that after 10 years, you don't turn back and tell us, "I've been pretending. I'm not sure of what I was teaching." When you do not have knowledge, your Christian experience will frustrate you. Eventually, you hear a lot of people tell you, "Look, this God thing, I'm not in it again. We used to be serious before. We used to do this." "I'm we Mumbari," you hear them say. "No. But I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which is committed unto him against that day." An encounter with the Word of God. Are you blessed this morning? Please rise up on your feet as we pray. Rise up on your feet as we pray, everyone. My life changed when I paid attention to the Word of God. I'm honored today to be used by God, doing the things that He's doing through my life and our ministry across the globe, because the Word of God is the maker of men. The Word of God is the maker of destinies. Listen to me. For many of you, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you through this sermon this morning. You need to get back to the place of the Word. You need to reduce your time of running around men. You need to reduce your time of activities and stay with the Word. Stay with the Word. Let it build you. "I commend you to God," he says, "and to the Word of his grace, which is able to build you and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified." Two prayer points and we're done. Number one, Father, open me up to the Word of God. Grant me grace, passion. Are you praying? From the front to the back, please pray. Passion for the word of God. Passion for the word of God. Not just religious activities. I obtain grace. Grace to be a student of scripture. I obtain grace to be knowledgeable. I fight ignorance. I fight ignorance from my life, from my ministry. I fight ignorance. Hallelujah. Last prayer point and we're done. I'd like you to pray. Father, reveal to me the principles connected to my desires. The principles connected to the results that I so desire in my life and ministry. We desire dimensions of favor, of grace, of speed, of lifting, of the anointing, of influence. But there are spiritual principles that are connected to that outcome. Lift your voice and pray. Lord, reveal to me. Open my mind, open my eyes. Are you praying? Lift your voice and pray.
Jesus' name. Father, we thank you.